Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. As we get rolling here for a Wednesday edition of the show, it's a really busy day. There's been a lot going on. Supreme Court arguments. You got the Trump trial. You have things here in the St. Louis area that we're going to focus on as well. We have the candidate. Well, almost promoted him. Almost promoted Mike Kehoe to governor. The lieutenant governor is going to be here later on this evening. He's running for governor. Sue Thomas, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Fred, the Hall of Famer, is here. He had the best line. How are you, Fred?
I'm good.
So, wait, I got to put the mic on there.
I'm sorry, I'm good.
Right,
thanks.
There we go. So, the number, I always like seeing what takes off on X, formerly Twitter, Sue. And
yeah.
Our colleague Mark Cox today shot a video right down here on 13th Street, I guess, in front of the Veterans Memorial right there. I think, Fred, wasn't it 13th
and
Market?
I think it was Market.
14th and Market. Oh, was it 14th and Market?
Yeah.
And I put this up on the Twitter. He did as well, and I just retweeted it. And it's getting an amazing amount of responses today. It's basically of a African-American naked homeless man that is just sitting right there on the corner on a towel. And just, can you see the video right now? He's
kind
of stretching himself out and having a good, I mean, he is completely, totally naked.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And he seems to be, I guess what Mark Cox said is, another day in downtown St. Louis, dude at 14th and Market is completely naked, muttering incoherently, where are all those social workers who replace police officers? This actually is the guy, Fred, that I think a few years ago, you know, Kevin Killeen was a Hall of Fame reporter in his own right at KMOX. He now works for Steve Ellman in St. Charles County. But Kevin, who was always good at just grabbing a microphone and talking to people, went out there because this was the guy that was in the middle of the intersection right there by Stiefel Opera House asking for money. And Killeen goes out and talks to him. We played the audio, Fred. I can't remember if it was on this station or when I was on KMOX. And the guy admitted, yeah, I'm just making some money here so I can go over to the park that is under park restoration here, Pelker Park, and buy drugs. He was rather candid with it. But here's the reason I want to bring it up. The best response, so you're going to love this. You know, you get all kinds of responses. Like on Twitter, people are basically hammering the city and talking about the city and all this stuff. But Fred's response is, wow, I can only think he's in better physical shape than me.
Well,
okay,
that's
pretty funny.
I mean, the dude is cut.
That
there's no doubt about
funny.
It. And once I started looking at that, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to kind of look at this from a different perspective. But
there's nothing you can hide when you're naked either. So
there's not. Look, I don't know. You know, I really don't know in all seriousness what you can do in a situation like this. Sue, I told you when I'm in Las Vegas and I'm heading back in a few weeks, it's devastatingly, it really is. It's sad. It's a little frightening. The number of homeless people that are up and down the strip, not just who are homeless, but who do, they mutter, they shout things. There's a level of mental illness that is really accelerated. And, you know,
what does Vegas do about it? Nothing.
I think they basically just let people. I don't know what they can do. And, you know, we had the arguments in the Supreme Court earlier this week. Maybe if the court rules in a way that says businesses have the right to do something in Vegas, though, I think what's happening is up and down the strip is probably more like, you know, it's not anything that's beholden to the business. It's just the Las Vegas Strip. And maybe they don't have control of that. But, you know, this is a guy that definitely needs some help. But unfortunately, this is what we see downtown. I mean, the guy is just, and did a cop go up? Did they try to do anything? I don't know, but it's right. I mean, if Tish would open the window to her office, she could see that.
Well, she's not going to do that.
No, she's not. All right, so we got a bunch of things that we're going to get to. We have Kilmeade coming up in this hour, some reaction to those Supreme Court arguments today. This was on the Trump immunity deal, and I will say this, that I'm not very capable of breaking down everything in the law, but I do pay attention, and I've listened to a lot of the Supreme Court arguments in some of these recent cases, and typically it's something I can sort of, you know, get my arms around. This one, I think, was a little bit more complicated. There are big implications, certainly, for the future. The justices were concerned about that. There is a bit of a theory right now that they're going to kick this back to the trial court. The trial court's going to make some decisions, and then whatever happens here is going to be after the election. And if it happens after the election, it might be, to a certain extent, a moot point. But Brian's going to weigh in on that. We'll also have George Gray in the studio this afternoon
today?
In the 4 o'clock hour. Yeah, he's doing the Price is Wrong right after Sue's News.
Okay.
So we're happy to have that. We were supposed to have George, who, of course, works with Drew Carey every day. You can watch him on CBS across the country. But he was going to be in back in March for one of our Fish Fry broadcasts, as you might remember, Sue, and couldn't make it in because of flight
that's
delays.
That's right.
But he's back in town visiting Mama May. So I think this is good because, as you know, the host gets worked up about things. We always talk about these serious topics. It's good to take a breath and to laugh a little bit, and George provides that and some positive energy, so we will have that this afternoon on the program. We have a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. Jane will be on the panel. Jeff Rainford, former chief of staff for Mayor Slay, and Greg Keller, Republican political type, will be here tomorrow afternoon. What am I forgetting, Fred? Anything that I should talk about for tomorrow? Oh, you know what? Dan Clues is good. This could be fun.
Yeah.
They're playing at City Winery. Dan is with, and this is next weekend, so I think you'd have interest in this. They do the Carol King and James Taylor story, Dan and a
partner.
Nice. And he's performing at City Winery, and I think there's only like a handful of tickets left for that. But my friend John Lynch, who puts on these concerts, breakroomconcerts.com, you can check that out, is having them the following night. I think it's a Sunday night. They're doing City Winery on Saturday, but we're going to have them on the show tomorrow, and that should be fun. So a little music tomorrow on the program. There's also a movie. I'm kind of waiting to see what's going to happen. There's a faith-based movie that is starting tomorrow, and it's going to play here in St. Louis. And we're, you know, it's funny. I reached out a little bit earlier this week because it's a movie called Unsung Hero, and it opens in theaters tomorrow. There's a guy that's in it by the name of, and he lives in Columbia, Missouri. And you might know him from the Sling Blade movie with Billy Bob Thornton. Lucas Black is his name. He was the kid in Sling Blade. He was like the little kid. Remember that?
I do not remember the little kid role.
Really? Well, he
I'll
was
have
like,
to go back.
Yeah, he was the main, you know, one of the main characters of the movie. Well, Lucas has been in a bunch of different shows, et cetera, over the years. But he lives in Columbia, Missouri, which is rather unique. I'm not exactly sure the story there, but he lives in Como. And he went on Newsmax because it's a faith-based movie to promote it. And I thought, well, let's get with Lionsgate, the production company, see if we can get Lucas on. Well, lo and behold, what they told me was, and they're not opposed to getting him on, but there's some brothers here. Joel Smallbone and his brother are in town. And Joel is the writer and the director. He's also in the film. Luke is the producer as well. So I think they may be swinging by in person to talk about this story. It says here, it says it's the... the story, Unsung Hero, follows David Smallbone as he moves his family down under, actually, I got to see the email, to the States, searching for a brighter future after his successful music company collapses with nothing more than their 7 children, suitcases, and their love of music. See, this is right up my alley. And his pregnant wife, played by Daisy Betts, Helen's faith stands against all the odds and inspires her husband and children to hold on to theirs. So we'll maybe find out a little bit more about that tomorrow here on 97.1 FM Talk. So, the folks at Media Research Center always do a great job of breaking down some of the things that happen in the news. We highlight these things as well with Joe Biden, and they actually had a collection of gaffes. Fred's really good at snagging these when they happen. We had the teleprompter moment yesterday. I think that might be included on our list. But they put something out earlier today. They said, look, the 7 brand new Biden gaffes that ABC, CBS, and NBC are hiding. It is funny because when these things happen, you always see it on Fox. You never, ever see it on any of the other networks. And the Media Research Center actually makes sure that they track these things.
We flew those single-engine planes as reconnaissance over war zones. They got shot down in New Guinea. And they never found the body because there used to be There are a lot of cannibals for real in that part of New Guinea.
That's the Uncle Bozy story.
The
Prime Minister of New Guinea, Papua New Guinea, hit back and said, look, that's not what happened. His story was that his uncle, Uncle Bozy, I mean, we all know
Uncle
about Uncle Bozy,
was
a serviceman. His plane went down in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of New Guinea. This was during World War II. And people just ate him. That's what the president said.
Well, I mean, that's just common sense.
Yeah. Then there's this one.
And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa.
Yeah, he mixed up.
Don't move on Hi-Fi?
Right, what? No.
Oh.
Haifa. He was talking about Rafah, and he completely switched up the cities on that. This is the very fine people moment. We kind of highlighted this.
Do you condemn the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses?
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
You know, they always break down when Trump says something like that. That's kind of why they're calling it, you know, the Charlottesville moment. Trump says something like that. It leads for several days, and they get the experts to weigh in and talk about, you know, everything that's going on, and it doesn't happen in this situation. Here's the one from yesterday. I do like this. It really is, because he's reading off the teleprompter. It's an Anchorman, Will Ferrell type of moment, and this happens.
What we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years.
It really is one of the best. And again, people make mistakes like that. I've read off teleprompters before and said things probably that I was not supposed to say, but it does happen to him on a daily basis. This one I had missed. Fred, you tell me if you had heard this one before.
We have a chance to make hope and history rhyme again. Are you ready to do that with me? Are you ready to move forward, not back? Are you ready to choose unity over division?
Wait for it.
Dignity over demolition.
Wait a second.
Choose truth over lies.
Yeah.
Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? Because that's America.
Yeah. Freedom over democracy?
Yes. We.
What?
The payoff was at the end.
My goodness.
A couple of these I don't have the audio for. He claims that he's never earned $400,000 in his lifetime. He repeats this quite a bit, and he says, I hope you're all able to make $400,000. I never did. But his presidential salary is $400,000 per year right now. The filings of President Biden and the First Lady showed $619,000 in income last year, $579,000 in 2022, $610,000 in 2021. He earned millions in 2017 and 2018 when he was a private citizen. Well, look, his son gave him millions of dollars in business as well. So he does like to say things. He made some claims on China, that China has more retired people than working people, and that's simply not true. So I find this interesting because they always analyze anything that Trump says. You know, they break it down.
Right.
Well, this isn't true. They have the arbiters of truth out there online breaking everything down. And then with Biden, it's just it doesn't matter what he said because we're trying to stop Trump, right? So that's the only thing that matters. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Brian Kilmeade here this afternoon for our weekly visit. Of course, his show airs every morning on 97.1 FM Talk, his television show, One Nation, coming up this weekend on Saturday night. So we'll ask him what's booked for that. A little bit later, we have Suze News. I mentioned George Gray in the studio. Mike Kehoe, who's running for governor. He's lieutenant governor right now. He's in St. Louis. He's going to stop by for a visit as well. So we're off and rolling. It's a Thursday edition of the Mark Reardon Show. Hang in there.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We have a little breaking news. You know that whole situation with the mess at Chippewa and Spring where the encampment, the homeless encampment, was set up in front of that person's house?
Yes, it had been for years.
It's been taken down.
Ooh.
We're going to try to find out the latest from Beavis Shock, who is the attorney that was involved in that. And then our friend Steve Butts, state representative, drove by, sent me a picture. It looks lovely out there. When I was there, when I visited that whole pile of mess, it was in the winter. Everything was gray, but they have cleaned it up.
I wonder if the lawsuit had something to do with that or just the threat of it.
Well, that's the thing. I want to hear the details of that. We're going to try to get to that.
Good. So that's great.
Maybe Steve or somebody we're going to try to get a hold of. Fred is working. The Hall of Famer is working on it right now, and we will pass that word on. But that was good news. Sometimes we don't have a lot of good news about the city.
Yeah, that's good.
And there's some good news. Brian Kilmeade is back with us this afternoon to report on a bunch of different things. Mr. Kilmeade, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. How would you break this down with, let's start with the Supreme Court and the arguments today. It seems like there's a lot of expectation that they'll kick this back to the trial court to decide on some of these issues. And then, you know, none of this will really be settled before the election. Is that sort of the conventional wisdom and your take at this point?
Well, the way I understand it, but you're the lawyer, but I have lawyers every 3 feet. And then watching it while I'm doing the show, then piecing it together to do a hit on the 1 o'clock show. So I'm hitting it on the fly and just going over the audio recordings and what I'm seeing in the interaction. Just a fascinating conversation because it was really beyond Trump today, because they're setting precedent for the next 100 years, maybe more. And what they're trying to say is, look, FDR, he rounds up the Japanese and puts them in internment camps because they're Japanese. Obviously, we know that was a huge mistake, unconstitutional. Should he be charged by some of those families? The George W. Bush, he said there was weapons of mass destruction. My husband died in the war. Should he be charged? Can I go sue him civilly? You know, the Richard Nixon situation in 1982, you had somebody who was a whistleblower about wasteful spending in the Pentagon, and they got fired. So he sued Richard Nixon, and they nixed it. They said 1982, he's been out of office for 12 years. He can't be responsible for decisions he made in office. So Trump comes along and says, January 6th, I made that decision in office. I didn't charge with insurrection. You know, how dare you try? You didn't even charge me with insurrection. I made a speech. Why am I responsible? Now, whatever our audience thinks about that is fine. But he was president at the time. Are you going to sue me for a speech? I said, march down there peacefully. So now you're suing me for January 6th. And then they say technically those documents were taken while he was president. And whether he gave them back in whatever time, it happened when he was president. So I'm not asking anybody, especially the attorneys driving right now, to agree with me. I'm just presenting the arguments as they were out there. And then the people say, you know, let's say you just want to go shoot somebody like Aaron Burr shot Alexander Hamilton. Let's say Aaron Burr was president. Should he be able to get away with that because he was president? Now, obviously, the answer should be no. You can't kill somebody. So how do we do? Do we set up parameters? And if the answer is I want to set up parameters around, I'm going to set up guide rails. Now I want you to take this case below us and deal with this one specifically. That means we're going to have a lot more time, which should bring you through November.
Yeah, and I think that's what's going to happen. By the way, you always, you talk to a lot of people, you always accuse me of being a lawyer. I am not, nor do I play one on the radio. And I'll be honest with you. No, that's right. Maybe I fool people. But, you know, this was one listening, and I thought that there were interesting questions. I listened to much of the arguments this morning. Typically, not being a lawyer, I'm able to get my arms around some of these arguments a little easier than today. This was complicated, but I even heard from the liberal justices, I think, pretty good questions this morning.
It really was interesting. It's almost as if they want to get to an answer. It made me want to be a lawyer because you really got to think and you respond. And they're really trying to press it, like, help me make a different decision. I'm going to ask some really tougher questions and you give me some of these answers. And so far, the answer that the Trump team can't go for is absolute immunity. If they push for absolute immunity, then it's a no-go. It's easy because you can't give a president absolute immunity. Because in their last year, they're just going to go crazy.
Yeah.
You know, you have to assume the worst all the time. So you can't do that. They still got to be within the rule of the law, but their decisions can't be susceptible to a lawsuit. So that, I just think when the Trump team said, if you send SEAL Team 6 out to murder your opponent, and the Trump team said in a lower court argument, basically they didn't have an answer for that, that's a problem. have an answer for that and say, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about murder. But presidential immunity is a legitimate issue because you got to be able to do stuff like, yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to get sued. No, excuse me. Yeah, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to meet over there. I'm not going to start this. I'm not going to send my SEAL Team 6 unit into Somalia to take out that, take out this group of terrorists, because one of which might be American. If they're American, you can't assassinate another American. Therefore, I could be sued. How many times Obama would be sued? Didn't he kill some of the drones, some Americans?
Yes.
Who had joined up with Al-Qaeda?
Yeah.
So, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not getting sued. You don't want a president saying that.
By the way, I was communicating with a friend of mine who's an attorney this morning watching the arguments, and he said, just as a lawyer, he said, look, I'm kind of amazed how these lawyers can think on their feet so quickly, you know, in the questioning. And then he said, and I had not, have you ever heard the word tautological before today? They use the word tautological. I had to look that one up, which means using two words or phrases that express the same meaning in a way that is unnecessary and usually unintentional. I probably do that on the radio all the time. Brian, let's move to New York in this this trial with Donald Trump. I guess they're moving forward. Yeah, I heard, I think it was, I don't know if it was Annie McCarthy or Turley make this point, and I thought it was interesting, and maybe I hadn't looked at it this way when it comes to Michael Cohen testifying. You have Michael Cohen basically trying to convict a former client for following his advice. Isn't that what some of this is about?
It is. And the funny thing was, I was reading with, you know, with getting these real quick transcripts that are made up by, we have three people in there writing it out and putting it on email in the overflow room. And with one of them once said, so they asked David Pecker, you know, when you're dealing with Michael Cohen, did the president know about this? He goes, yeah, I think so. And they go, object. What do you mean you think so? Did the president know about it? He goes, I assume so. Because you assume so. You can't assume that. They threw it out. So you can't even guarantee that the president knew about the deals. And to tell you the truth, I know Michael Cohen, and Michael, I could see him just saying, I'm not going to bother the president. I'm going to go handle this. I'm going to use the power of Trump to go bully everybody. And I'm going to go make deals. Not so much, I don't know if he's taking extra money or not. That's not what I assume. But he's out there cavalierly cutting deals, going up with money, going down. I'm not going to pay anything. I'm going to pay everything. Whatever. The assumption was he's speaking for Trump, the president-elect at the time. But you can't assume in court.
Well, I can totally see Cohen doing what you just described. There's no doubt about that. Hey, let's Brian Kilmeade back with us this afternoon. My favorite soundbite of the week, I do this feature here on the show every evening at about 5:50 called Audio Cut of the Day. I kind of pick one soundbite. Maybe I cheat a little bit and do a, you know, an audio daily double or a trifecta. But one of my favorites this week was the Columbia University students who went down to NYU because they knew that the students there were in crisis, Brian. And then somebody got a hold of these two girls. I don't know if you saw this, to say, hey, what are you here for? They had no idea. They had no idea what they were protesting. They really didn't know. And I think that spoke volumes about some of the nonsense that's going on college campuses right now.
It does. And they don't know what the river and what the sea is. They have no idea about the history. Why would a woman ever go to bat for the Palestinian culture? Where the women don't matter, they don't have jobs, they're third-class citizens. And if you happen to be gay, trans fluid, or whatever you are, you die. So these people are actually going against a democracy and an ally, saying that Israel is on stolen land, the Palestinian people need a homeland. To do what? To murder people? I mean, they basically keep electing Hamas. They 80% approve of the October 7th attack, some of which don't believe it happened. One woman says to Lawrence Jones, well, that October 7th was proven to be untrue. And Lawrence said, are you kidding me? There's video. He goes, that didn't happen. Right? I mean, do you believe that? Yeah, that would make your cut of the week.
Yes, I missed that one. And then there's another piece of audio that's circulating here from Amherst, Massachusetts. I thought this was a joke, but you have the Valley Families for Palestine putting on a queer story time for Palestine, and these toddlers are chanting Free Palestine. Meantime, the reality is members of the Alphabet Mafia are often murdered in Gaza and other areas like Ramallah, and that somehow eludes them. It's so confusing. I'm genuinely so confused by some of the things I see right now.
Because, you know, right away you want to say ignorant, but you're in front of Columbia, Princeton. Now, you know, Princeton's having their sit-in now. Brown arrested 50 people. So they're all doing it. So you go to yourself, these guys got near-perfect SAT scores. They probably are the top five in their class. The kid I interviewed today from Columbia is Jewish and now is being threatened in anti-Semitic epithets at him as he walks through campus. To his great credit, he refuses to miss class and do it on Zoom. he's putting up with all of it. Can't believe it. Either can his parents. They're paying $75,000. Like to think to yourself, you know, these are just, you know, these kids are just uneducated. They don't want to go to college. They don't. No. These are the ones. These were the supposedly smartest of this generation. And they've been totally manipulated by these professors. But I can't tell you how many times I was in class and you see a professor and they say some things that I believe are off the wall. I go, you know, does that have to be in the test? Okay, fine. You think you're going to change my mind? And just because you don't like Israel or don't like America, you're not going to affect me. These guys are like Plato. And these professors have totally gotten their heads. And the money is now flowing in from a very – these organizations got to be disassembled immediately after this. They got to find out exactly who's funding it and take it apart. And people can find that out.
I could not agree more with that. What's coming up on Saturday night? One Nation with Brian Kilmeade, 8 p.m. here in St. Louis. What do you got going?
Well, this week they're going to do a special in the White House Correspondents' Dinner. So I'm going to be on stage Vegas, actually Henderson, Nevada. So if anyone's traveling, BrianKilmeade.com. We talk about history. We talk about the country, and we have some fun.
That's awesome. Now, you cut out a little bit. So you're going to Vegas to do that, or that's where the – I'm confused because the phone line cut out.
The White House Correspondents' Dinner, they're going to do a special with that. So I'm on the 20th. This Saturday night, I'm going to be in Henderson, Nevada, right outside Las Vegas.
That is awesome. You got to go to the Sphere and see that. I was there a few months ago, although I didn't like the U2 show, but Sphere is kind of amazing, Brian. Do you like Vegas? Do you go there often?
I don't. I've only got there to cover fights and I think one time to do a shoot. I've never gone out there and said, let me go on vacation.
Really?
But I'll have some time Friday or Saturday after the show.
Well, look, it's honestly one of my favorite places. I go there every 3 or 4 months, and I don't even gamble that much. I love the food. My recommendation, Mr. Chow at Caesar's Best Friend is an amazing restaurant. That's Roy Choi, who started the whole, you know, food truck thing in Los Angeles. So I like the food. I know people like to gamble. I do that every once in a while. But I love Las Vegas. So have a great trip. We'll talk next week.
Go get it, Mark.
That's Brian Kilmeade. You hear him every morning here on 97.1 FM Talk. Let me get into, I think I have a few minutes here to get in some of the audio from what happened this morning. And, you know, I mentioned Andy McCarthy, Jonathan Turley. Turley said, look, there's some positives in here.
Well, I think there were points in this argument that should be viewed as quite positive for the Trump team. First of all, you had roughly 4 justices referring to sending this back for further deliberations. If they do that, it's hard to imagine the trial judge getting a trial before the election. And if Trump is reelected, you might not have any trial at all. But the argument went along the lines of what many of us had predicted. That is, the justices seemed equally uncomfortable with the sweeping arguments of the Trump team and the sweeping decision by the D.C. Circuit.
Yeah, and because of that, that's where they come to a little bit, you know, potentially middle ground.
I thought the real haymaker of the argument was delivered by Chief Justice John Roberts, who was openly mocking of the D.C. Circuit, which had this awful standard where they said, well, a president can be prosecuted effectively when he's prosecuted. That is, they had this line that suggested that the fact of prosecution meant that the acts could be prosecuted. And Chief Justice Roberts legitimately said, but what type of standard is that? I mean, you know, don't we have to have something more? All of those comments would suggest that there are justices sort of groping in the dark here for a middle road.
I think Will Scharf was in that room when the Supremes were hearing that argument today. He's unable because he's pretty busy this afternoon. Of course, Will is a frequent contributor. He was also running for Missouri Attorney General. But it was an interesting morning. And, you know, like I said earlier, just a little bit more confusing perhaps than usual, at least to me, because I'm not a lawyer, even though Kilmeade accuses me of being a lawyer. But here's how some of the arguments went with Trump's team.
Could President George W. Bush have been sent to prison for obstructing an official proceeding or allegedly lying to Congress to induce war in Iraq? Could President Obama be charged with murder for killing U.S. citizens abroad by drone strike? Could President Biden someday be charged with unlawfully inducing immigrants to enter the country illegally for his border policies? The answer to all these questions is no.
Yeah, that's John Sauer. And by the way, Sue, I think you might find this interesting. I tweeted this out, and maybe there's like 5 people that understood my point, but I said, imagine if John Sauer was RFK Jr.'s running mate, because his voice was interesting this morning. Here he is with KBJ.
I'm trying to understand what the disincentive is from turning the Oval Office into, the seat of criminal activity in this country.
I don't think there's any allegation of that in this case. And what George Washington said is, what Benjamin Franklin said is, we view the prosecution of a chief executive as something that everybody cried out against as unconstitutional. And what George Washington said is, we're worried about factional strife.
I think in the end that this ends up, my guess is there's not going to even be a trial in this, because I think they remand it, they kick it to the lower courts. There's so much time that's needed to prepare that they will set this after the election. And then if he wins, they probably wouldn't win. Even if he loses, they may just let this thing go. So we're wasting a lot of time in court with things that probably are not going to happen. But there were interesting arguments, and we'll certainly cover that a little bit more this afternoon. Here's something that I just want to toss in, because I saw the numbers this morning, Sue. You know, it's interesting. You don't hear the White House talking a whole lot about Bidenomics, do you?
Not
anymore. And I don't know about you, but gas prices seemingly have spiked. I heard something this morning.
They're
I have to
horrible.
Check this out. But I think I heard in California, maybe it was Trump that said this, so we have to check. I would always want to check with all these political candidates. It was like $7.60 a gallon.
Are you
now,
kidding
maybe
me?
Maybe that's premium,
wow.
But still. California's really
high. I don't care if that's premium. That's
crazy. It is crazy. So growth, you know, I think that there was, if you go back a year, there were a lot of people that thought we were going to be in a recession at the beginning of 2024. Economists, right?
Right.
I thought, well, there's potential. I actually look at these things on a regular basis just to look at economic indicators. I'm not an economist, nor am I a lawyer, but I do like to look at this stuff, and I have for years. And you, it's interesting, because if you go back to when Bush was president, or any Republican, if the GDP slides back, I'll give you a real life example. If Trump was in office right now, and you had a report that came out that said that U.S. economic growth slowed in the first 3 months of the year, with GDP growing at an annualized rate of 1.6%, you would have that likely. Now, I get that there's other things happening today with the Supreme Court, but that would be a prominent news story for the networks, for the newspapers. And they'd say, look at this terrible economy that this Republican president has dragged us into. We're on the cusp of a recession. And the truth is, you won't get much coverage on that. And this is somewhat troubling, because you had the last quarter come in at 3.4%, and that's the lowest reading in a year and a half that came out today. So that means people are not spending money. They're pulling back. There's a variety of factors. We know that. But what does that portend for the presidential election? I don't think it's good news, because as I've indicated, I look at these numbers. You don't usually have a 1.6 rate that grows into a 3.4. In fact, sometimes you get into negative numbers. Negative numbers prolonged means a recession.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Heck yeah, I made the executive decision, Sue Thomas, to include Eddie Money on the bumper list today.
I think that
was a good decision, don't you?
I like it.
We have the one, the only, the legendary George Gray coming in the studio in the next hour to play a game that I'm a little shocked has not gotten syndication rights by CBS, called The Price is Wrong, Mark. But we're going to, you know, continue to talk with our agents about that. But George is back in town. We missed him live in person last time because he had flight delays. But we are looking forward to seeing him a little bit later this afternoon. That is after Sue's news. Fred, the Hall of Famer, Sue and I will all compete this afternoon. We have a Reardon Roundtable coming up tomorrow. Of course, Jane's going to be here in studio. Jeff Rainford on the panel. Republican consultant Greg Keller. All of that and more. Paul Hall on entertainment. Cusimano will have an update on the Cardinals and some other sports tomorrow. And Dan Clues, who is performing next weekend at the City Winery and Break Room Concerts, doing the Carole King and James Taylor story. And I'm very curious to talk with Dan. I think that's going to be fun. So, Fred, what happened here? Trump came out as the trial wrapped for today?
Yeah, like every day at the end of the trial, once it wraps, he comes out and talks before that microphone for about 3 minutes and sums up life.
What's interesting is this really is the only campaigning that he can do right now, right? Maybe for the next several weeks.
He did a little bit before the trial this morning in Manhattan, talked with a bunch of union workers out in front of a building. But this is the one that we're grown to expect.
Yeah. Was that the steelworkers?
Yeah.
Do you know?
They will probably continue to back the Democrats, but just because the heads of the internationals are backing the Democrats doesn't mean the members are voting that way.
Yeah, we found that out in 2016, so I think that's an interesting comment. But here's what he said here a few minutes ago.
Thank you very much, everybody. Today was breathtaking. In this room, you saw what went on. It was breathtaking. And amazing testimony. This is a trial that should have never happened. This is a case that should have never been filed. And it was really an incredible day. Open your eyes. And we can't let this continue to happen to our country. On another matter, you know, the economy has just been reported to be doing very badly. The stock market's way down. And some horrible numbers came out, including very high numbers on inflation, and in particular gasoline, at $7.50 in California. That usually leads the way. It's going to happen here, too. And very importantly, as you look at the various colleges all over the country and beyond colleges, because it's happening in other areas too, you see what's happening on the front having to do with Palestine and Israel and protests and hate, anger. Biden is sending an absolutely horrible message. Horrible, horrible message. He has no idea how to message. He can't speak. He can't put two sentences together. He doesn't know what to do. This is not our president. This is somebody that shouldn't be doing what he's doing because he can't do it. He can't do it well. We're having protests all over. He was talking about Charlottesville. Charlottesville was a little peanut, and it was nothing compared, and the hate wasn't the kind of hate that you have here. This is tremendous hate, and we have a man that can't talk about it because he doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand what's going on with our country. He doesn't understand that all over the world we're being laughed at as a country because of him and his administration. And today we had, I hear, because I was forced to be here, and I'm glad I was because it was a very interesting day in a certain way, but the U.S. Supreme Court had a monumental hearing on immunity, and the immunity having to do with presidential immunity. And I think it was made clear, I hope it was made clear, that a president has to have immunity. You don't have a president, or at most you can say it would be a ceremonial president. That's not what the founders had in mind. They're not talking about ceremonial. We want presidents that can get things done and bring people together. So I heard the meeting was quite amazing. Quite amazing. And the justices were on their game. So let's see how that all turns out. But again, I say presidential immunity, very powerful. Presidential immunity is imperative, or you practically won't have a country anymore. Thank you very much.
Well, it's a lot cheaper to campaign that way, right? You just go in front of the microphones for 3 minutes and boom, you're done for the day. You don't have to go to some rally or fly across the country. But that's pretty much what he's going to be limited to. So we'll... it'll be interesting. We'll talk more about that, of course, on the roundtable tomorrow afternoon. Hey, one of the stories I am going to cover this afternoon is, and I think I mentioned it maybe two nights ago, it came out of North Carolina, and it was about this kid. So you might remember I talked about this kid in an English class at a high school in Lexington, North Carolina, and the teacher's assigning vocabulary words. One of the words is alien, and this kid says, hey, do you mean like space aliens or aliens that need green cards? And it became a big deal, and the kid ended up getting suspended over that. Pete Callender is a talk show host in Charlotte, North Carolina, WBT, and he interviewed the mom of that high school student. Pete's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. We got George Gray after Sue's News coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio.
Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds.
What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds?
Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs.
Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.